Hello, beloved, and welcome to today's Bible study from the letter of Jude. We are going to do study 35. So we are moving slowly but surely. So before we continue, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you this morning. Thank you that we can study your word. Thank you that your revelation is so clear. And specifically when we read the letter of Jude with regards to the false teachers, Father, we pray, please help us to understand so that we will not fall into the trap of these false teachers, but rather expose them for who they are so that the truth will prevail and people will know the truth in your church and among believers. So, Father, I pray that you will open up our hearts to receive your word, our minds to understand, so that at the end of the day we may be edified through your word, but also understand what you want to say to us through your word, in Jesus' name. Enable me as your servant to teach your people, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's just go to like a summary quickly. I've done it a few times now, but I would like to give a summary because Jude is giving us the different characteristics of false teachers. Remember in verse 4, he gave us some characteristics, for example, that these false teachers get into the church unnoticed in stealth mode, that they are ungodly. And then in the verses we're going to handle today, in verse 14 and 15, he continues in the same way to speak about these people as ungodly people, ungodly teachers. But they also turn the grace of God into a means for them to commit sexual immorality and all kinds of other sins. So they make God's grace cheap. Remember, God's grace is not cheap. I'm not going to go into that. But they turn God's grace into the means for them to commit all kinds of sins. But then they also deny different things about Jesus Christ that has been clearly revealed to us in Scripture. Right, in verse 8 we get four more characteristics of these false teachers. Jude tells us that they are dreamers, they defile the flesh, they reject authority, they speak evil of dignitaries, which means the angels, angelic beings, and that kind of thing. And then in verse 11, we saw that these false teachers, they kind of tried to create their own way of getting right with God. They create their own righteousness, their own means of being saved. Just like Cain, who brought the offering the way that he saw fit and not the way that God expected him to. But we also see that these false teachers are lovers of money. And they will do anything to get money. They refuse to submit to God. And they refuse. And the way we know that they refuse to submit to God is because they refuse to submit to God-given leadership. And what they try to do is to impose their own will on the people. Right, verse 12 tells us that Jude says that there are spots in the love feast, that these dangerous rocks and reefs that's under the water that will destroy people when they are part of the love feasts. There are clouds without water, so they promise a lot, but it's all empty. Right, they run after every new kind of false doctrine that is out there. These false teachers are late autumn trees. They are spiritually dead. They do not bear the fruit of the Spirit. There are raging waves just foaming up their own shame. You just see the foam of their shame. You don't see the wave breaking. There's no water there. Right? There are wandering stars all over the place, basically. But then Jude tells us that they will be judged by God. They will be condemned to eternal punishment. And verse 13 tells us that they deserve the punishment that they will receive. And the reason I believe that they deserve the punishment, if you kind of look in the context, is the kind of damage that they've caused to God's church, the kind of damage they caused to believers. And the people that they are dragging with them into eternal hell because of the fact that they are false teachers. All right, so when we get to verse 14 and 15, what we're going to look at in this Bible study, verse 14 and 15, we kind of see how Jude describes the judgment of these false teachers. Let's read verse 14 and 15. It says, "Now Enoch, or Enosh, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Oh, it's a mouthful. It's really, really a mouthful. You see, Jude says that Enoch, or Enosh, the seventh in line of Adam, already prophesied about these teachers, these false teachers that Jude is speaking about here. So God already spoke long in advance. That's amazing that God hasn't changed his mind. God hasn't changed his ways. God said that these people will be judged, and they will be judged. God prophesied about them. He actually spoke about them. He said what was going to happen to these people because of their falsehood, because they are false teachers. And God hasn't changed his mind. And this is the wonderful thing about God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, God spoke through Enoch, and that means it's settled. Now, Enoch was basically the seventh in line from Adam. So that's kind of early in the history of mankind. And God already spoke about these false teachers that was going to come years and years and years later. Now, Enoch was a man who walked with God. We read in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, that Enoch walked with God, and he was... Let me just do this quickly. There we go. And he was not, for God took him. So Enosh walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 gives us a little bit more clarity. He says, "By faith, Enosh was taken away so that he did not see death." So when God took him, it basically means that Enosh didn't die. God took him alive. All right? And it says that, "And he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." And it's amazing what Jude does here. He kind of contrasts Enoch with the false teachers. You see, the difference between Enoch and the false teachers is this. Enoch pleased God. And because he pleased God, God took him. It's a picture of the church, né? A picture of the saved. Those who are saved, God will take. And they will not see death. But what kind of death is he speaking about? It's speaking about the second death. Obviously, those who are alive when Jesus Christ returns, they will not see the first death either, because they will be changed in an instant. They will receive their glorified bodies, be with Christ forever and ever. But those who have died will be resurrected, and they will not see the second death. So this is kind of a picture. Enoch is a picture of the church, of those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Who pleases God. They don't please God because of what they have done and who they are. They can now please God because of what Jesus did. All right, so we have the picture here of Enoch, who is taken by God, who didn't die. We will also not have die eternal death. But the false teachers, on the other hand, and Jude is contrasting them with true believers, or with Enoch in this case, where the false teachers, different story, they will be punished. We're going to look at this at it just now. Now, it's interesting to note that nowhere in the Old or the New Testament do we read about this prophecy of Enoch. It's not found in the Bible. We do find it in the book of Enoch. It's like an apocryphal book, which was not included in the canon of Scripture. So it's an extra biblical book, basically. But the thing is, beloved, the fact that this prophecy of Enoch is not in the Bible, but is in an extra-biblical book, does not make this prophecy any less significant or authoritative. We need to understand that. Because you see, Jude wrote this letter under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which means that the author of the original prophecy, the prophecy that was given to Enoch, remember, it's the Holy Spirit who is the author of prophecy, né? So it was the Holy Spirit who gave the prophecy to Enoch. And then Enoch spoke the prophecy, obviously. And now the Holy Spirit reveals it to Jude. And Jude is now revealing the same prophecy. So the author stays the same. Whether it's written in the book of Enoch, which is an extra biblical book, or whether it is not written there, the author is exactly the same. And the fact that the Holy Spirit basically confirms the fact that Enoch prophesied about these false teachers just tells us that the Holy Spirit is the author of both. The prophecy, obviously, of Enoch in the book of Enoch, but also the Holy Spirit is the author of what was revealed to Jude. This prophecy that was revealed to Jude. Maybe Jude wrote it, read it in the book of Enoch, or maybe it was just the Holy Spirit that inspired him and that basically shared the prophecy with him. Whatever way, the Holy Spirit is the author. He's the author of this prophecy. And he gave Enoch the prophecy, and he inspired Jude to write the prophecy in his letter. So in both cases, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives credibility to the prophecy. And not the fact that it's found, not found in the Bible, but it's found in apocryphal book. But the Holy Spirit gives credibility to this prophecy. Right, so God the Holy Spirit spoke through Enoch, and he did it many, many, many years prior to the existence of the false teachers that Jude was writing about in his letter. But God knew that there were going to be these false teachers. All right, so what he does is he gives a warning long in advance through Enoch. Right, that there will be a severe judgment on false teachers. We read in verse 14 and 15 that this prophecy says that the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all. Right, so the first thing is important here is it speaks about judgment on all. Everybody will be judged. Because that's what this prophecy says. But this is referring to specific people. It's not referring to God's people. Right? Because Jesus Christ is going to come back with his saints to come and judge the unsaved. So it refers to false teachers. It refers to the ungodly. It refers to the unsaved. It cannot refer to God's people because God, Christ is coming back with his saints. So how can he come back with his saints and then judge them? No, they've already received their judgment in the sense of the Bema Seat of Christ, where they receive reward for what they've done in the body, good or bad. Ne? So they've already been judged by Christ, not condemned to eternal damnation, but they've already been judged. Their works have been judged already. And the works that they did were tested by fire. Those things that didn't stand was just burned up. Those things who stood, they got reward for. But this is referring to the final judgment when Christ Jesus returns and he comes with his saints, and now he comes as the judge of the world to come and judge the ungodly, which includes the false teachers, by the way. All right, so Jesus will be coming with his saints, which means that they will not be part of the judgment, and he will bring the judgment on the false teachers and the ungodly. That's what's going to happen. His saints will be with him when he judges the unsaved, and this is the the wow thing about Christ. Christ came as the suffering servant when he came to die for us as the Messiah, the suffering servant who died for our sins, who took our punishment upon himself, who died on the cross. Jesus died on our behalf. All right, but when he comes again, he's going to come as the judge, to judge in righteousness. And he's not only going to judge the unsaved, he's going to judge the false teachers, but there's a severe judgment. Well, eventually everybody receives the same judgment, those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But it seems as if Christ is going to be harsh on the false teachers. Because verse 15 continues to say that Jesus will convict all who are ungodly among them. So he's going to judge all, but he's going to convict all who are ungodly among them. And here he's referring to the false teachers. Remember verse 4, where he says that the false teachers are ungodly? So he's going to basically convict all who are ungodly among the sinners. And what Jude is doing here is he's pinpointing a specific group of people. He's pinpointing the false teachers. You see, Jesus will convict all the unsaved. All the sinners will be convicted by Christ. Right? They will be judged. But Judas is focusing in on the false teachers because he wants to say certain things about these false teachers. Because Jesus will convict the ungodly false teachers. So he will pass judgment on them. He will announce punishment for their sin. He will declare that they are all going to be thrown into the lake of fire with Satan and the other fallen angels. Right, so these ungodly, these people that are kind of isolated by Jude, they're not just merely sinners, but they are false teachers. They are proud despisers of God. That's who they are. All right. How can I say? There are those who are acting against God and against these people. These are the ungodly that Jude is speaking about. So he's referring specifically to false teachers here. Right, so the false teachers definitely qualify when we look at their characteristics and when it speaks about the ungodly. I mean, verse 4 already told us that these false teachers are ungodly. Right, but what Jude also does is he tells us in verse 15 that Jesus will convict the ungodly, the false teachers, for all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way. You see, this is one of those times in the Bible when there is a statement that is made in such a way that it's inevitable to see the seriousness of the judgment of people who are ungodly. It's just inevitable to see the seriousness of the conduct of these false teachers and what the consequences of their conduct is going to be. You see, the prophecy says that these false teachers will be convicted because of what they did. And what they did was ungodly. And then also the way they did it was also in an ungodly manner. So the overarching issue here with these false teachers is basically this. They are ungodly. The ungodliness is the main characteristic of these people. Now, the complete word study dictionary describes being ungodly like this. It says, it is to be without fear and reverence of God. It does not mean irreligious, but one who actively practices the opposite of what the fear of God demands. You see, beloved, the problem with these false teachers is the fact that they are religious. They're not irreligious. They are religious. They're in the church. They participate in so many of the activities of the church. They are among God's people. They're among the members. I mean, they even profess some of the things that the believers profess. They become teachers within the church. Yes, they come in stealth mode, but they become teachers among the people. Right? So they are religious. They are there. They're part of the formal church kind of thing. But the thing is, and this is what is so clearly seen here, they are ungodly, which means they do not have any fear or reverence for God. And if they feared God, if they had reverence for God, I mean, they wouldn't have acted in an ungodly manner, would they? No. But it's because they do not fear God. They do not have reverence for God. That's why not only do they act in a certain way, their whole conduct, their lives are just filled. They just show forth that they do not fear God. They have no reverence for Him. Because you know, they would not have, if they knew what they I wonder sometimes, if they knew what their judgment was going to be, would they have done what they do or what they did? Would false teachers, when they really realize what judgment they're going to receive? And this is the thing, they read the Bible, but they are so selective in the passages that they read that they never ever read what was going to happen to them. You see, that's the problem. Because what they do normally is, what they do and how they live and what they teach is the opposite of what God revealed in the Bible. See, if they If they had any fear or any reverence for God, they would have lived the kind of way that God expected them to live. You know, they would have had respect for God, reverence for God. But that doesn't happen. And then lastly, Jude tells us that Jesus will convict the false teachers for all the harsh things which they have spoken against him. Now remember that these false teachers, these ungodly false teachers, they twist the truth about Jesus Christ. They don't teach what the Bible reveals about Jesus Christ. They teach falsehoods about Christ. That's one of the characteristics that Jude already gave us about these false teachers. When Jesus comes with all his saints to come and convict the ungodly, Jude tells us that he will convict everyone who taught lies about him. Beloved, this is serious stuff. Everybody who taught lies about Jesus Christ, who twisted the scripture or did not reveal what is revealed about Jesus Christ in scripture, Jesus is coming to convict them. He's going to announce judgment over them. They will end up in the lake of fire forever and ever. And this is the warning that we find in the book of Jude. So anybody who reads the book of Jude and still dares to be a false teacher will deserve what they get at the end of the day. They will really definitely deserve what they get. You see, the thing is, I believe as much as it's negative, where Jude explains to us what these false teachers look like and what their characteristics are, I believe it's also an incentive to teachers to make sure that they teach the truth about Jesus Christ as revealed in Scripture. And it's an incentive for us as believers to search the Scriptures, to find out what we believe about Jesus Christ, whether it's true or not, so that we will be able to see whether somebody is a false teacher or whether that person is not a false teacher, so that we can, at the end of the day, follow true teachers, the teaching of true teachers, and not the false teachers. Because Jude tells us very clearly that a severe punishment awaits those who are false teachers. And woe to those who followed these false teachers. So, beloved, may it be a warning to us that we make sure that we do not fall into the trap of the false teachers and become just like them. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much that we can come to you again in Jesus' name. Thank you for this passage, these two verses. Father, I pray that your word that has gone out, only your word, may it accomplish that which you set it out to accomplish, and may it not return void to you. But Father, may you be glorified in and through each one of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for watching and listening, those who are watching and those who are listening to this Bible study. May the Lord bless you, keep you, may his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace. And remember, when I pray that God blesses you, I'm actually asking the Lord to lead you into being obedient to him, because that's what is to be blessed. It's to be obedient to God, because there's blessing that flows from obedience. So may you have a wonderful week. May God bless you, and may he keep you until we talk again and the next Bible study. God willing, next time. Bye-bye.